While my slides are being set up, I thought I would share with you a story, just since it's pertinent, and I don't know if I can ever say this at another non-Vagina Museum event. So hi, I'm Florence from the Vagina Museum. I went to JFS, the Jewish school, and some of you might know it, but I remember sitting in Jewish studies class, and we were talking about how masturbation is really terrible because of the wastage of seed, and it could have been a life, and etc., etc. And I was a very precocious 14-year-old, and I put up my hand, and I was like, Rabbi, what about female masturbation? And all my classmates were like, oh, they were like, I can't believe she just asked that. And the rabbi looked at me, and he could see, he was like, I never even thought about female masturbation. I didn't know they could do that. You could see in his face. And he just stumbled, and he was like, oh, it's inappropriate sexual feelings. It's if you just open the Chrome, it should be there ready. Yeah, there we go. So do you just press present at the top? Next to share, the big blue button. Yeah, so present is just another, yeah, there we go.
Okay, and does the clicker work
there? Yeah, looks like it is, okay. Great. Okay. Hi, my name is Florence. We've already been through this. So I am the director of the Vagina Museum, and I get a lot of really strange reactions. I remember going to like this networking event, and you know, everyone's got these name badges, and mine says Florence Schechter, Vagina Museum. And I remember this one woman coming up to me, staring very intently at my breasts, and I'm normally fine with that. She was like, oh, what's the Vagina Museum? And her friend had to be like, no, you read it right the first time. That wasn't a mistake. That wasn't a typo. It's a vagina museum. So I thought I would show you just some of the strange reactions that I've got. It is mostly positive. So there was this one person who said, can we go? And you know, that's really nice, but it's not funny or fun, and it just gets a bit braggy after a while. People tweet me things like this. There's a building in London dedicated to crusty old cunts, but enough about Parliament, there's a vagina museum too. Yeah. I really like this. I get this in every form. Sometimes it's the Republican Party, sometimes it's the House of Lords. And it's funny the first time you hear it, but then if you think about why the joke is funny, it's because society doesn't like vaginas, society doesn't like Parliament. And I only agree with one of those statements, of which we shouldn't like. So we get all kinds of things. We get this kind of rhetoric a lot. The Vagina Museum better have a knocker on the door because no man will be able to find the buzzer. And apparently there's a clitoris museum very near the Vagina Museum, but I can never find it. I'm really irritated with that. It's not hard. It's right there. If you thought you would come to a Vagina Museum talk and not see a vagina, you were sorely wrong. And then I get commentary about specific people as well as... for example, they are going to build a vagina museum. Bill Clinton is going to cut the ceremonial hymen. Oh, I don't know why that makes me feel so gross. And then there is an online movement to build the first vagina museum. This sounds like a project the Trump administration might want to grab. I've heard every Trump joke. You could honestly try. I will tell you, I've heard it. But the most surprising... response I ever got was when someone tried to mansplain the Vagina Museum to me. So this is a real email I got. I blacked out his names. And so he goes, Dear Florence, la la la, I heard about your idea. I have a background in science. So do I, but thanks. He says, if you're interested in finding content or ideas for your museum, then here are some appropriate things you might find interesting or be aware of already. Then he gives me some suggestions. And one of them is genuinely the vagina monologues. Like, I hadn't heard of the vagina monologues. I'm opening a vagina museum, and I've heard about every single one of these things. And I was feeling too polite, because as a woman in society, I have to be nice to everyone. And I just... replied like, oh, thanks, I did know about these, but thank you for sending me these, I'll keep them at the top of my list. And then he sent me another email. He said, I've been thinking about it a bit more, and here are some more things you should include. This is a real list, I promise you. He says you should include photos and illustrations. Information. History in a museum. Oh my God. And then he says things like branching into other areas like menstruation. Oh, wow. I mean, I've only been menstruating for 15 years, but I hadn't thought of that. Thank you, random man on the internet. And this really blew my mind that someone would send me this, but hashtag not all men. This is a real email I got from my own father. I've been very open with my family about what I'm doing. It's very funny because my aunt, whenever I talk about it at a family dinner, she always kind of looks at her two teenage sons being like, are they listening? Are they? Oh, I hope they're not. But my dad sent me this email and he goes, by the way, it was just after an interview in The Independent was published. That's the movie contest you need. And he goes, hi, Florence. I read your article in The Independent. You've hit the G-spot with this interview. I love him so much. So, supportive parents, which is nice. But these are all really funny, and they're really fun. But the thing is that I don't get just strange, funny things. I also get some not nice things. So, for example, people say, nah, let's open a close your vagina museum instead. And the world needs a lot of things, but a vagina museum isn't one of them. And a lot of people do tell me this. They're like, oh, this is gross. You know, the arguments they often use are private parts should stay private. This is pervy. You're like some kind of sexual deviant that you want to do this. I get all sorts of arguments. And I actually think we do need a vagina museum. The more people say we shouldn't have a vagina museum, the more I want to make one. For example, this is a real thing that went viral a while ago. And let me read out to you. This is amazing. It's a genuine Facebook post. And it's a guy called Kyle. And he says, do women actually orgasm? There is no conclusive physiological evidence of it. Men are very clear, obvious, but women not so much. I would disagree with that situation. One thing is clear. Women are taught they are supposed to orgasm. Are we? Perhaps it's an unreasonable myth. That would help explain why so many women are sexually unsatisfied. Kyle, I think we know why the women in your life are sexually unsatisfied. Perhaps they are expecting some defining moment like men have. Maybe a woman's sexual experience is just totally different from a man's. I will study the issue further. I really don't think he will. but yeah, people genuinely think this kind of stuff. Recently J.K. Rowling, she tweeted about how some scientists found, like, the purpose of the orgasm, and J.K. Rowling was like, oh, really? Because, you know, I always thought that, like, pushing a huge a baby head through my vagina was, like, you know, motivation enough. I mean, surely, people are so confused about this kind of things. One that really got me, the slides have changed order slightly, but it's fine. So that beginning section was the fun bit where we develop a rapport, because now we're going to get into some depressing things. Because, you know, it's very easy, like, sitting in a conference room in Northwest London, and we could talk about, like, oh, isn't it funny how men can't find the clitoris? But these kind of issues are like the smoke for the real fire that's happening. So why do we need a vagina museum? One in three women around the world will experience some kind of physical or sexual violence in their lives. In some countries, that is as high as 70%. Sexual violence increases with conflict. It increases with war. It increases in certain jobs. 30 to 50% of female engineers experience sexual harassment or sexual assault at work. So I'm trying to alternate the depressing things. I'm trying out a new format, the depressing things with the funny things. So this is a real thing that happened. So I don't know if you saw that people are talking about period poverty a lot. So this is a really important issue that we think, you know, oh, it's just developing countries, but there are girls in, like, North England who can't go to school during their periods because they can't afford tampons and pads. And someone tweeted, tampons should not be free. Why does everyone keep saying they should be? If you can't control your bladder, then that's not the taxpayer's problem. It's a real thing that happened. It went totally viral. But you'd be glad to know that the boy who tweeted this, his girlfriend dumped him afterwards, after she saw this. So, you know, there are some wins in the world. And if you have stopped menstruating, you might want to take a pregnancy test. And this is a real ad that happened for a pregnancy test. And if this woman does not know that she's pregnant already, I worry for them. But again, this is a real problem. You know, like most unintended pregnancies, we think that unintended pregnancies are things that happen to teenagers, but they're actually happening much more to women over 40 because they think like, oh, I'm going through the menopause. I don't need to use birth control anymore, and then they fall pregnant.
Sorry, is this an American advert?
No, I think it's like Dutch or something, actually. I can't remember exactly. The tampon guy was British, if that tells you anything. But the not knowing stuff, so a lot of people, you know, we don't know the basic information, but even science doesn't know the basic information. In the last 25 years, there have been 364 studies into animal genitalia. 49% of them were about penises. 8% of them were about vaginas. The rest of them were about both, if you're wondering why that doesn't add to 100%. But it's a real problem because we know so, so little. Science does not want to study it. We only discovered that the clitoris had an internal anatomy in 1998. There's so little that we don't know. And a lot of it comes back to people like Darwin. This is true for all scientists, even scientists today. But when Darwin did science, he let his social biases bleed into his science. He looked at animals and their behavior, and he saw what he wanted to see. He saw what he expected to see. He saw the female animals sitting there chaste, waiting for the right male to come along and impregnate her. And the males were running around and trying to impregnate everybody as possibly they could. This was later called Bateman's principle, because in the 1960s, a guy called Bateman did an experiment on fruit flies, and he saw that the female fruit flies would wait around and be coy, and then they'd have sex with maybe one male. And the males would try and have sex with as many females as possible. And this was, for some reason, held true for the whole animal kingdom, including humans. I don't know how fly behavior is considered similar to human behavior. This was held true. And then Bateman was actually disproved on the advent of DNA sequencing. They found that actually female flies can store sperm. So they'll have sex. Can anyone hear that whining?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really distracting. Sorry if that's suddenly why I'm not quite making sense anymore. Maybe if you just turn it down slightly. I talk very loudly. Sorry. Okay. Can you still hear me? Yeah. Okay. So they found that female flies can actually store sperm. They have little storage sacks, and they can hold on to the sperm for as long as they like. And then one day they'll be like, I feel like having a baby today. And then they can store multiple males. So they'll be like, oh, actually, I liked Bill. I'm going to have Bill's babies today, and tomorrow I'm going to have John's babies, or whatever. I don't know what fly names are. they found that actually, now loads of mating behavioral science is being totally turned over because we realize we have techniques like DNA sequencing. We're realizing that a lot of our social biases was infiltrating the past 200 years of science. And this is true for humans as well. Just to remind myself So this is true for humans as well. There's so little we know. And then there's strange things that are happening today, which we think is a modern problem, but it's not. For example, contraception and abortion. This is a newspaper comic from the early 20th century. And it's a stork holding a baby. And the caption is, "And the villain still pursues her." So as long as we've been trying to have babies, we have been trying to not have babies. The earliest contraceptive methods have been recorded in the Kahun Papyrus in 1850 BC, where they recommended taking a mixture of lint, acacia, and honey, and mixing it together and putting it in the vagina before sex, and this was supposed to prevent pregnancy. Didn't, but now we have slightly better methods. But people have been doing this for so long. In the 1600s, there was, Vesalius or Fallopio? I can't remember exactly which one now, the whoever it was, got my head. But they invented condoms that were made from like lamb guts, and they were used to stop the spread of syphilis, which was ravaging Europe in the 1600s. We've been using contraception for a very long time, and yet still, even next door in Northern Ireland, they, you know, there's a repeal the eighth. Abortion, which is a type of birth control, not like obviously a very late stage one. We're still not okay with it for some reason. You know, we've still got these moral offences to it, even though we've been doing it for literally, 4,000 years. And medicine has been trying to keep up with sort of advances. This is a real... It's not even ironic, this. It's a woodcut showing a gynecologist doing a physical examination of one of his patients, and he is doing it under her skirt. So he can't see what he's feeling. This was like the morality that we see again and again infiltrating into things that we think should be clinical, and we think that, you know, we should be unbiased. Even physical examination was only some... It's a very modern technique, actually, in medicine. It's only been around maybe 200 years. And gynecologists had a particular problem because they're like, oh my God, we have to touch vaginas. And that even women in medicine have for a very long time been treated in this way. The stethoscope was invented. I don't know if anyone knows this. The stethoscope was invented by a Frenchman in the 1800s because he wanted to listen to the heart of a very large woman. And she had these beautiful, bountiful breasts. And he was like, I can't put my ear to those. For some reason, I mean, I would have loved that position, but no. So what he did is he took a piece of paper and he rolled it up into a tube and he put one end on her chest and one end by his ear. And that was the first ever stethoscope, essentially. But again, we are still seeing this today. Women find it harder to get painkillers in hospital. Women are not taken seriously by their doctors. There are... one in three women aged 16 to 35 have admitted not going to their doctor with gynecological symptoms because they have been too embarrassed. And then we get even further and further along this rabbit hole of how we're not allowed to talk about vaginas, how we're disrespected when we do. So this is Kesha. I don't know, it's not really the crowd to know Kesha. She's an American pop singer, and a few years ago she sued her producer. She tried to break the contract with her producer that said that, you know, like they make music together for like 5 years or whatever it was, and he takes a cut of her profits. And she wanted to break this contract early because he was allegedly sexually assaulting her. She went to court, and the judge basically said that the producer's financial needs, as it were, was more important than her safety and her well-being, and he refused to break the contract. She tried to appeal that decision, and the next judge said she should have known that he was going to sexually assault her before she signed the contract, and again denied the appeal. This happened a few years ago, you know? Totally forgotten about the order of my slides, I'm sorry. And then we get even further down the rabbit hole. Over 200 million women and girls are living today suffering from the effects of female genital mutilation. This has been something that's been happening for a very long time. Nowadays it happens mostly in Africa, but it used to happen in Britain. It used to happen in Britain as a standard treatment for masturbation. Even in St. Mary's Hospital, which was in the news just a few days ago as the site of the birth of the new royal prince, there was a doctor called Isaac Baker Brown, who in the 1800s was dismissed because it was found that he was performing clitoridectomies on patients who had epilepsy, who had a number of mental health issues, and patients who were masturbating. He would remove their clitorises without their consent. Thankfully, he was dismissed. But this, you know, this was something that was happening. It's quite common practice, and it's been happening for a very long time. But what is a vagina museum going to do about any of this stuff? I know that was really depressing, and it kind of feels really overwhelming. Like, what possibly could we do about these things? Well, the Vagina Museum is going to tackle these issues in a number of ways. We're going to have exhibitions. We're going to have permanent galleries that are about these issues, because the first way of tackling these issues is to learn about them, is to talk about them, and to be educated about them. We're going to have 4 permanent galleries: science, culture, society, and history. Hopefully self-explanatory of what they'll contain. We're going to run events. They're going to be lots of, like, they're going to be fun events, you know, things like plays and concerts and stuff, but also, you know, classes and support groups and stuff, because something I'm hearing again and again from people is, I love the idea of a vagina museum because I want to talk about these issues. I want to talk about my experience with abortion or menstruation or sex, but their friends don't want to talk about it and they have no one to talk to. So by running these events, we can provide a community that wouldn't otherwise be available to people. We're going to be doing outreach work. So things like sex education, not just for children, but also for adults. There are even adults today who don't know some of the most basic things. But then also more like further on from the not basic things, you know, things like how to be safe while practicing BDSM. There's too many acronyms in my head. I'm sorry. So outreach work. And then we're going to be doing advocacy work, like making policy recommendations to the government, doing awareness campaigns. And then, of course, there'll be a gift shop and a cafe, because I want vulva cupcakes. Who doesn't? After going through all of that, I think we all deserve a cupcake. But the timeline of the museum is something I get asked a lot. So we launched this project in March 2017, and we've been doing events programming since then, and we're just moving into the second phase of our project, which is a pop-up museum. It's called Is Your Vagina Normal? Spoiler, yes it is. And we're taking it all over the country and even abroad. So we're going to be doing a pop-up museum for about 2 or 3 years. Then we're going to move on to an interim museum, which is basically a small proof of concept museum. And then we'll start work on the permanent museum once we've done that. We're doing an event with the Freud Museum on May the 21st at the book club, which you should totally come to. It's a comedy night. This is a really nice image that Mashable made, which is like a vagina museum. Admit one. It's I really like that, so I've just used it now. But yeah, come on May the 21st. It's going to be really fun. And hopefully you can come to the real museum soon. Thank you very much.